24, Luke 24, verse 36. As they were talking about these things, that's, of course, the with those who've just come back from the road to Emmaus, they've seen Jesus. As they were talking about these things, Jesus himself stood among them and said to them, "Peace to you." But they were startled and frightened and thought they saw a spirit, or a ghost, that is, see? And he said to them, "Why are you troubled, and why do doubts arise in your hearts? See my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Touch me and see, for a spirit does not have flesh and bones, as you see that I have." And when he had said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. And while they still disbelieved for joy and were marveling, he said to them, "Have you nothing here to eat, or anything here to eat?" And they gave him a piece of broiled fish. It's not boiled, broiled, that means barbecued, okay, in our terms. And he took it and ate it before them. Then, of course, he says this was all fulfillment of the law and the prophets, and says, verse 49, 48, "You're witnesses of these things to go to all nations. Behold, I'm sending the promise of the Father upon you, but stay in Jerusalem until you are clothed with power from on high." Now, what I want to focus on is what Jesus says here. Spirit does not have flesh and bones, as you see I have. Flesh and bones. Okay? So the theme is definitely flesh and bones. But I'll give it some outline introduction to all this, but be very pleased for people to kind of raise matters to do with the resurrection of the body of Christ, and therefore our resurrection, so that we can talk about it. But let's start there. Jesus Christ had, in his risen state, had flesh and bones. Okay? Now, keep your finger in there and go on to Corinthians chapter 15. And verse 50. "I tell you this, brothers, flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does the perishable inherit the imperishable." So Jesus says, see my bones and my flesh, and see what Paul says, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. So what's the difference between those verses? The word is obviously blood. Jesus was the prototype of the new body, and he had flesh and bones. So what happened to the blood? Now, what we have here is the whole kind of revelation of how God progresses his creation of mankind. Let's just take this phrase of flesh and blood, first of all, in 1 Corinthians. Richard, I have a very large picture of you. It's great to see you. As you move around, it's distracting my attention. I don't know what to do about that. Can I change the picture, Michael?
Yeah, so on your computer,
yes,
you should find in the top right-hand side of the Zoom screen, a little icon that says View. And if you click on that, you'll get the option of speaker
gallery view. That's
gallery
right.
View. That you want gallery view.
Yeah, that's fine. Yes, yes. I can still see you, Richard, and that's fine. You do just what you want. It's just that It was like the other day. I had a big picture.
Derek.
Yes.
I think Richard would disappear if he muted himself.
No. That's all right. He's all right. He's okay as he is. I want to see him. It's like the other day. No. Come back, Richard. I'd like to see you in the flesh. I don't want to see a picture. I want to see the real Richard. That's it. Now, the other day, Gerald, you were eating your cornflakes while I was speaking. And it was interesting to minister with that picture. Anyway. Here we are. I can see you all now. That's great. So, there we are. Flesh and blood. Now, let's just start, first of all, to try and unpack this. Paul says, flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom. Jesus says, I've got flesh and bones, and I've got a new body. Well, let's look at the flesh and blood, first of all. Flesh and blood isn't necessarily bad. When Paul says it can't inherit the kingdom of God, if you look at the other references to flesh and blood in the New Testament, they're not bad ones. They're just flesh and blood. I mean, I'll tell you what they are. Peter confesses that Jesus is the Christ. And Jesus says, flesh and blood hasn't revealed that to you, but my Father who is in heaven. In other words, it's humanity as humanity, not talking about it as fallen particularly, but just humanity. And humanity cannot reveal who Jesus is. I mean, I'm a Bible teacher, of course, and you'll have opportunities to witness for Jesus, but you know very well, you can't make anyone a Christian. Because that which is of the flesh is flesh. And only the Holy Spirit can do it. That's what happened to Peter. He'd become a believer because of the Father working in his heart through the Holy Spirit. Now, a very similar thing, which is strangely enough obscured in this ESV. When Paul says he went up to Jerusalem, he says he didn't consult with any flesh and blood. It just says anyone in here, which I think is a bit lame, a bit weak, must admit. He meant the same thing. It's no good just talking to people as people. You won't get anywhere in spiritual matters. Job talks about the edges of his ways. All we can do is like see through a glass darkly. In our humanity, there's really very, very little we can see about God. We can see his creator. And of course, people deny the obvious there. I mean, wholesale, it's very sad, isn't it? Very tragic. I've been doing that for a long time. But you can't see God as he is without revelation. Flesh and blood can't give revelation. I mean, what are the other references to flesh and blood? Well, there's Ephesians chapter 4. We don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. We know we're not against people in our evangelism. Our wrestling is against principalities and powers and the powers of evil. And there, the other reference, I've got them written down here, so just remind me. Yeah, they're all there. Yeah, the other one is Hebrews and chapter 2. Since the children, that's you and me, partake of flesh and blood, Jesus had to do the same thing. In order to be our savior, he had to be flesh and blood. Now, flesh and blood is called the first Adam from the dust. It's how Adam was even before he fell. And in that sense, he's just like an animal. What made him different from the animals was because the Spirit of the Lord had put the image of God in him. And that's still true, even in our fallen state. Everyone out there still has the image of God, even though they deny it. So Jesus had to partake of flesh and blood. In fact, the blood is so important that right even after Noah, the command was not to eat blood. Now, Jesus abrogated that, but that was in the Jewish law. Why? Because life in this world is in the blood. This world's life is animal life, but with a spiritual dimension. But the life is in the blood. And that's why a Jewish law says you can't play with all that, certainly. And we can eat blood. But even in Jerusalem, in the Jerusalem decree, they advise people not to do it. It's never finalized. But, you know, so flesh and blood can't inherit the kingdom. So it's humanity as is, basically. That's what flesh and blood means. It's not bad. It's not talking about flesh is sinful flesh, really. It just says, as we are, we're not fitted for the kingdom. We can just see a little bit of God and that's all. But in the resurrected body, it would appear that there's no blood. Now, I say appear because that seems to me to be the clear logic of what the Bible teaches. Now, if anyone can show me differently, please do. But we'll have a bit of discussion about that in a minute. As far as I can see, what Jesus is saying is, no, there's not flesh and blood in heaven, but there is flesh and bones. Now, there's only one person who's got that, and that's him. Now, I've been thinking a lot about that. Is there anyone else in heaven with flesh and bones? Well, I can't think that there is, because he's the first fruits of those who've fallen asleep. I was thinking about that people who are taken up to heaven. Who are they? Enoch, Elijah, definitely, and probably Moses. Now, there's some dispute about Moses, wasn't there? The body, remember? It mentions it in Jude. We don't know what that means. But Michael, the archangel, disputed with the devil over the body of Moses. Now, on the Mount of Transfiguration, Moses and Elijah appeared in a body. But I still don't believe that's the resurrection body of Jesus, because he's the first fruits. It was a body for the occasion. And there's another example of that, very clear example of that. One of those extraordinary miracles that happened at Calvary was that when Jesus died on the cross, that exact moment, the graves around opened up. And people came out? No, they didn't. They didn't come out until Jesus rose from the dead on the Sunday. Now, they must have been given special bodies for the occasion, because they would have rotted away. Even Lazarus, his sister, said, well, his body would be stinking by now. And so there had to be a renewal of the old body. So I think the same thing is true of these people. And in fact, it's guaranteed to be true by the opening of the graves first. Jesus did not need his grave to be opened. Do you know that? The stone wasn't rolled away to let him out. The grave clothes show that. He emerged through the grave clothes and they stayed where they were. And he emerged through the stone and it stayed where it was. It was only rolled away to show people that he wasn't in there. So the resurrection body is flesh and bones, but not blood. Because this blood is for this world. It's for this here and now. And that's why also in Hebrews, in chapter 12, it talks about the departed, the believing departed, like my darling wife, as spirits of justified people made perfect. So she is a spirit in heaven. She's justified, as she was on earth, and she's perfected. Now, she was pretty good down here, but she wasn't perfect, okay? But she is perfected in heaven. What's she doing? Well, she can see Jesus and his body, but she's awaiting the resurrection. when Christ returns, those like her, her bodies are in a grave, will be raised up. We're just working on a, just ordered a, well, in December, we ordered a gravestone, which will be put there in a month or so's time, up in the new cemetery. Well done, good and faithful servant, it says. All very painful for me, isn't it, to do it? But I've had my children to support me, and God most of all. Well, she was a good and faithful servant, but she's a spirit now. Her body is mouldering away up in Wilbury. But when he returns, she will be raised. If he returns in our lifetime, she'll come up first before us, because we'll be changed then, in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, from the old body that we now have, which bleeds, to the new body like Jesus. And we'll enter the millennium. But as we said the other day, it seems clear from the millennium that there will be those with the present body who will die, even though circumstances will be far better. And because Satan will be in prison right up until the end, when in fact Satan's let loose and there's a final rebellion. And then the resurrection of the ungodly in the body for judgment, and the fullness of the last days, when, you know, Christ God will dwell with us and the new Jerusalem will come down from heaven. So really, I want to share that with you. The body of Jesus is real, but it's also called a spiritual body. Different from, in that sense, in substance, but made by God from the same matter. Very important. It's not, God didn't start again and do a sort of copy of the body of Jesus. He actually transformed it. And that's very clear. It says, he will transform our lowly bodies, this one, to be like his glorious body. How does he do it? By the power that enables him to subject all things to himself. That's what he can do. That's what he will do. So in the new heaven and the new earth, in the millennium, first of all, and then after the final judgment, with the Jerusalem coming down from heaven, we will have the new body like his. And notice, this new body could do things that we can't do. It could, well, it passed out of his grave clothes, passed through the stone, and could pass through the doors and come and see the disciples. And even eat. Now, whether Jesus needed to eat, I don't know. There is a messianic banquet. But he was able to, and did. He had this barbecued bit of fish. And I think some texts have honey as well mentioned. So this is real stuff. You know, there's a progression. But this bone, I'm going to just finish before I hand over to you, about this bone and flesh. This bone and flesh is actually very important. It goes right back to the beginning of the Bible. When God created Eve from the side of Adam, from his rib or whatever we call it, he said, this is bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. Bone and flesh. And right through the Old Testament, I've put some references here. This is an amazing book I got 30 years ago, called Studies in 1 Corinthians 15. And it lists them all here. Adam says of Eve, as he receives her from the Lord, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. Laban salutes Jacob as a kinsman and said he runs to meet him and embraces him and kisses him and brings him to his house and says, surely you are my bone and my flesh. The tribes of Israel come to Hebron to make David king, have the claim of family interest in David. We are your bone and your flesh. So bone and flesh kind of describe humanity and the size of humanity from a kind of Jewish point of view. by Paul in Athens. It says he made the whole human race from one, but a lot of texts have from one blood. And we all bleed the same way. And of course, our skin color is only a matter of how much melanin is under our skin, and also the thickness of our skin. God made us all from one. And some texts have one blood. So we talk about, my flesh and blood, and meaning my family. But what Jesus is showing here is the resurrection body, a spiritual body, but nonetheless corporal with flesh and with bones. And the whole relationship is different. You remember that story in Luke 20, where the Sadducees, who don't believe in the resurrection, try to trip him up. So whose wife will she be? Because she married these seven brothers. And he says this: the sons of this age marry. That's flesh and blood get married. And are given in marriage. But those who are considered worthy to attain to that age and to the resurrection from the dead neither marry nor are given in marriage. They cannot die anymore, because they are equal to angels and are sons of God, being sons of the resurrection. So, Jesus rose from the dead, literally, historically, actually, guaranteeing our salvation. He came to this earth in flesh and blood. He got that from Mary. He had to become like us. When he was raised, he was definitely different. And we'll be like him. Recognizable, even the wounds in his hands and his feet. No doubt who it was. And God didn't start again and make us all, copy two, as it were. He actually transformed the body of Jesus into this resurrection body. And Christ is the first fruits of the resurrection. And we're all going to be like that. Those who are with the Lord now are spirits, and they're going to have their bodies raised like the body of Jesus. Those of us who may be here, if Christ comes in our lifetime, will have this flesh and blood body changed into a flesh and non-blood body. And we'll be having an eternal body that we'll have that can't die. That's amazing. I mean, how exciting, how incredible. What a vindication of the gospel. Jesus died for our sins and shed his blood for this world of flesh and blood. But when the victory came, he was flesh and bones, a body fitted for the age to come. So praise the Lord for that. Okay, raise anything you want to raise.
Yeah, I got a thought. I was in sort of Matthew 27, where it says the tombs also were opened.
Yes.
Many bodies of the saints,
yes,
who had fallen asleep were raised. So that kind of implies that it's God's people.
Yes, that's right.
It made me wonder, do you think Anna and Simeon were among the people who were raised?
Well, they could have been, couldn't they? It was only a temporary resurrection. It wasn't a final one. They had to be like Lazarus, who had to die again. Because Jesus Christ is the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep.
Yeah.
And because I've got this book here. Again, a wonderful book, Six Miracles of Calvary. He makes this point very strongly. The graves were opened as a testimony of Christ's resurrection. It happened through the earthquake, but they didn't come out of the graves until after Jesus was risen from the dead. Mm. But even then, I don't think we have any grounds for saying they had a new body, because the new body isn't going to come until the end. There's one other thing, which I was going to share this morning, I will do. In Ephesians and chapter 4, we have this remarkable statement that there's one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all. Grace was given to each according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore, it says, and quotes the Old Testament, that when he ascended on high, he led a host of captives and gave gifts to men. In saying he ascended, what does it mean but that he also descended into... Now, again, they've changed the text. They shouldn't have done that. It doesn't say the lower regions of the earth like the ESV says. It's the lower regions of the earth. And he who descended is the one who also ascended far above the heavens that he might fill all things. And this raises another question. Were people actually in heaven before the return of the Lord Jesus Christ there? Now, Enoch was taken up. Elijah was taken up. We assume they were there. But mostly in the Old Testament, it's as they go down to Sheol. And the implication, and I'm inclined towards it myself, is that when Christ led the host of captives, he actually did what was known as the harrowing of hell and Hades. Hades was in two bits. Funnily enough, the Greeks and the Hebrews were quite agreed on this. There was the bit which was described as the bosom of Abraham. There's the nice bit, as it were. And then there was Tartarus, and that word is actually used in Peter, of punishment. And it's often said, again, something you can look up yourself and work through, that in... It's like David said, I should go to him when his baby died. That when Christ actually... rose from the dead. He says he went into the place, into Hades. It says that he went there, and then descended to the dead, and then he brought all the Lord's people up to be with him in heaven. Let's say any more than that's a view which seems to me to be very clear from the scriptures. But I'll leave it with you. But
can I just say something?
Yeah, of course.
In my belief, I think the appropriate word is seen. Jesus was seen to die, and then he was seen to rise again.
Yeah, that's right.
And I think that's the appropriate word, is that seen.
Yeah.
So in spirit, when our spirit goes to heaven, we are not seen. But after resurrection, when we will look, it's all seen. I think
we'll
that,
see the Lord,
me, that is the... Yes. Yeah,
we will. We'll see his hands and his feet. We'll see. But I do believe that however it works out, even apart from the people who went to heaven and I know that before, that Jesus is the only person, I think, in heaven with a new body, because he's the first fruits of those who sleep. Others are in some spirit form. That seems to me to be what it said. I mean, it's important to know this and important to study it. It's not speculation, because Christ is definitely described. In fact, Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15 about the order of resurrection. In fact, Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. By a man came death, by a man has come also the resurrection of the dead. As in Adam all die, so in Christ shall all be made alive, but each in his own order. Christ the first fruits, then at his coming... Again, those who belong to Christ. And then the end comes, the end when he delivers the kingdom to God the Father. And that's the point when the unbeliever will be raised.
Derek, what you said about the Greeks and the Hebrews agreeing on a place in sort of heaven and time.
Well, I wouldn't exactly agree, but it's similar, should we say? Yes, yes, yeah.
Well, that's sort of borne out by the story Jesus told of the rich man and Lazarus.
It is, yes.
Yeah. In Abraham's bosom,
yes,
enjoying the good things.
That's right. Yeah, it is Paul.
Was in torment, but could see him.
Yeah,
could see him.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah,
lovely book.
Brownlow North preached many a sermon on that. Yes,
Brownlow North.
Yeah,
great book fixed.
Yes,
super book.
Yeah, amazing, isn't it?
Yeah.
Well, Michael, I'll hand over to you because there's a time.